ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
This is Summer Grandstand on ABC Sport with Sam Lane and Limo. On your radio, ABC Sport Digital, and on the ABC Listen app.
Now, Sam, statistics are playing a more prominent part in sports year on year, yeah. And I for one, absolutely love it. You know, as a kid, I had a book called Test Cricket Lists, and I'd spend hours poring over the numbers. I think I got to a point where I could recall just about any stat that was in the book. So it's with great pleasure and much excitement that I introduce our next guest, ABC Sports cricket statistician Rick Finlay. Welcome to Summer Grandstand.
Thanks, Limo. Yes, delighted to be here.
Thanks, Rick.
Well, as a stat lover, I'm extra excited. Now, first up, I want to ask about Ashes clean sweeps, because Glenn McGrath had this to say on the BBC during the week.
Very rare to me to make a prediction, isn't it? And I can't make any different one, but 5-0. So we'll wait and see closer to the time. I'm very confident with our team.
And David Lloyd has since made a 5-0 prediction going England's way. What are the stats on whitewashers in Ashes series, Rick?
Well, if we're going to restrict ourselves to 5 test series, which I think is the only true whitewash,
yes.
Then there have been 3, and they've all been inflicted by Australia on England.
Right.
And 1920-21, which is probably before our memory.
Yep.
But more recently, 2006-07, and then 2013-14. And that's quite a weird stat, because in between 2010-11, England came to Australia and absolutely belted us.
They did indeed. They did indeed. And well, 2006-07 was us winning it back as well, wasn't it?
Yes, from over 5, correct.
So Don Bradman's tours never whitewashed England?
No.
Right. And Rick, do you have a favourite test cricket stat? Is there one in particular that you love to wheel out when the occasion calls for it?
I like the stat that Don Bradman, that really emphasises how good Don Bradman was. I have developed what's called an era index, and I'll just explain. It takes each player and it calculates their average batting and bowling.
Yeah.
But it also takes the combined averages of all the players that player has played against and with, so 21 other players for each match, for those matches that player played in only. So...
Okay.
And takes out, you know, all the other extraneous differences, conditions from different eras and so forth. And Don Bradman comes in at 3.38 for his batting, which means that his average was 3.38 times the combined batting average of all the players he batted with and against.
Okay. And how does that compare with whoever comes in at number 2 on that list?
Well, significantly ahead. There are a handful that are... just above 2. Jack Hobbs from England is about 2.
Yeah.
Steve Smith was above 2 until recent times. He's slipped down to about 1.94 at the moment. But he's still, of all those who played 25 tests, he still ranks 4th in the world of all time. So we perhaps don't appreciate how good Steve Smith has been.
Yeah.
Rick, tell us a little bit about you. I think the statisticians that I've met in sport, I'm always... really drawn to, because they're such passionate lovers of whatever sport they do, but they're sort of quiet. They sit there and just chip away and take the stats. What do you love most about statistics? What keeps you compelled?
Gee, I like the way that statistics can sort of take something that you feel in your bones and actually quantify it. I think that's my mission in life, to do that. So I love doing that sort of thing. So taking things that you think, is this really true? Are we getting this impression? Is that correct? And actually quantifying and either proving it or disproving it.
Yeah, that's interesting. And do you have a view on how statistics are being used these days? I mean, clubs, as I understand it, pay massive money to get, in high-performance sports, the most intricate data and whatnot, and it's almost like an arms race. Give us a bit of a take on what you know about the kinds of record-keeping and sharing and the market that is statistics in terms of high-level sport these days.
Sure. When I got into it, it was just pretty basic, I guess, like batting averages and bowling averages and that sort of thing. But with the advent of technology and particularly combining it with videoing, you can get so much information from one individual ball, where the ball's pitched, what the batsman's done, whether he's played back or forward, or how it's pitched in, on his leg side or offside, and what he's done with it. So all this data is now digitised, and it's made a massive difference to, I guess, to coaching and how players are taught. And also that information occasionally finds its way out into the public domain, which is very interesting as well. And it's beyond my capacity to do that. I've got a life, so I can't
we
all that sort of stuff. So I'm still stuck, I guess, about 20 years ago. But having said that, I'm still developing new ways of looking at data that traditionally I've always been interested in.
We are talking to Rick Finlay, ABC Sports cricket statistician. Rick, can I throw a few at you? And you
go for it.
See what we've got. Okay, who's the oldest player to ever hit a Test century?
I mentioned Jack Hobbs a minute back. Well, it is he. He was 46 years and 82 days when he made a century, took a century off Australia at the MCG back in 1928-29.
Right.
I think he's got two or three. In fact, he's got three centuries when he was older than the oldest Australian to score a century, which was Warren Bardsley of the same era. He scored at Lord's 193 not out, so he went on with it when he was aged 43 years and 201 days. So he's the oldest Australian to score a Test century. But it's a rare thing now. I mean, 1920s, there seemed to be some old players around. I think biding their time after the First World War. A lot of them played before the First World War, and just the careers weren't complete until they played a certain amount of time. So they played on into their 40s, but in more recent times, this millennium, there have only been two Test centuries scored by players aged over 40. That's Misbah Ul-Haq from Pakistan, who actually made five aged over 40.
Right.
And Shivnarine Chanderpaul, the West Indies, made one.
Okay.
And going back to 1970, which is over 50 years now, there are only another, one, two, three, four players that I can add to that list. It's Graham Gooch, Clive Lloyd, Jeff Boycott, and our Bob Simpson.
And Bob Simpson,
So that takes it back to 1970. There are no other players who've scored centuries age 40 or older since 1970.
All right, next one. Which players have I'm looking for two players here, one with the best, one with the worst, win-loss ratio over their Test career?
I don't know if this guy's related to you, but his name is Darren Lehman.
Oh, he'd have a good
brother.
He'd have a good record.
81.5% of the tests he played in, he was on the winning side, and that is the highest for anyone who's played 20 or more tests. And
that's awesome.
About that, but here we go. We work with Darren Lehman. I should say, Andrew Simons is second, Adam Gilchrist is third, and fourth is one Stuart Clarke. So we have two of those high-rating test winners on our ABC team.
Oh, well, that is very good news. And I'm sure we don't have any of the losers there. Who's got the worst win-loss ratio?
There's a whole squad of Bangladesh players that unfortunately hit that list. So there's six or seven of them occupy those first...
Right, okay.
But in terms of Australia, though, it's very rare to get... Australian players have played a significant amount of Test cricket with a losing rate of over 50%. The three that I found are Graham Wood, John Dyson, and Jack Blackham from the 19th century. So Wood and Dyson played during those times when Australian Test teams were weakened by rebel tours and that sort of thing. Yeah.
World Series cricket. Now I have a memory of Alan Border. When Alan Border retired, I remember thinking to myself, looking at the numbers and thinking, he has played in 10% of all Test matches ever played by all countries. Is that true?
No, it's not. It's actually higher.
It's higher?
Wow.
He retired in the 1,256th Test, having played 156 himself, which works out to 12.4%. So there you go.
Gosh.
That is just extraordinary to me that one man played in 12% of all Test matches. One in eight Test matches forever he played in.
Now, Liz, I'm going to interject here because I expect Rick to know that, but I'm quite blown away that you didn't have the correct number, but that you've retained that bit of information. And if you don't mind, I'm going to ask Rick a question.
Yeah.
Is the great and fine art of statistics and keeping them and passing them on, Rick, that you don't just bamboozle people? Because some people don't care about stats and they're just like, let me just see the game. Numbers don't interest me, you know, blah, blah, blah. But the best stats kind of, I reckon, make anyone sit up and go, wow, okay, now you're talking.
Yeah, so I agree with that. I mean, just to give you an example, I've been looking at the best team in Test cricket ever, and I figure the best team is the Australian team that played between the 14th of October 2005 and the 6th of January 2008. And I could tell you that they scored 13,240 runs at an average of 48.68. And okay, that's pretty bland. So what we're going to do is compare it with what the others were doing at that time. And we find that they scored 10,884 runs and 406 wickets were lost. But again, that doesn't say much. But if I then go a step further and say that Australia scored 2,356 more runs for 134 fewer wickets, that's starting to make an impact, isn't it?
Yes.
And then if I tell you that the ratio of Australia's batting average to the opposition's batting average was 1.82, which in AFL terms means a percentage of 182%, you don't get too many AFL teams at the end of a 21-game season with a percentage of 182, do you? So that sort of gives you a comparison of how good that team was during those years.
I do love it. Rick, I've got one last one for you very quickly. Who has taken the most test wickets off a no ball?
You can't take wickets off no balls.
But if it wasn't a no ball, it would have been a wicket.
Oh, okay. I know. I'm sorry. I'm going to disappoint you there. I don't measure that.
Okay. We'll get back to you on that one.
You've stumped him, Lance.
to say, well done. Good use of the word stumped, by the way, Sam.
Thank you.
Rick Finlay, ABC Sports cricket statistician, thanks for joining us on Summer Grandstand.
Been my pleasure. Thanks so much.